squeeze another person.
Oh, we can squeeze another person. Somebody hasn't signed up and wants to come.
Great. Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
So, good morning again, and thank you for being here on a sunny summer morning. And the topic for this morning is, in fact, summer practice. What is the practice of summertime? So summertime is a time of longer days and more light, and oftentimes it's generally more activity, more outside time, family gatherings, vacation. And it can be a time where our effort in formal practice loosens a bit. The discipline of practice, we just allow that to drop a little bit. And there can be some real usefulness in picking up the forms as we do during term student in a more intense time of our liturgical calendar, and a time to allow that to relax. So the roots of this talk come from the early years that I trained at Dharma Rain, the temple closed down entirely over the summer. So you would get to sort of the beginning of June, and the Kyogen and Gyokoko would kind of say, you know, God bless, and we'll see you in we'll see you in the fall. And especially when I was new to practice, that brought up a lot of feelings of like, wait a minute, and I'm kind of nervous about my practice without the support of the temple, and how's this going to go, and is this okay? And there's a little bit of a fearful quality in my own practice that I need that support, and what happens without that support, or what happens if I just kind of allow it to loosen a little bit. So Kyogen often would end in May or June with a pep talk around what is summer practice? What is the practice of summer? How can it be useful? How can it inform us? And how it's important, actually, to loosen the structure around practice that we have. So my own definition of summer practice is a period of practice in summer where I allow my own discipline to relax, either by intention or not so much, and to see what happens. And it's a time to really embrace this beautiful world that we have, enjoy what there is to enjoy about summer, and not worry too much about that lightening up of the forms. So I invite you to kind of reflect on this as I talk about three questions. So how would you define summer practice for you? What is the practice of summer for you? And it's also a time where we can look at what feels integrated, what feels easy, what do we carry of practice with us? So what feels really integrated about our practice that naturally arises? And then the last question is, what needs work? What do we notice when we don't practice? What do we notice what's the difference between when we practice a little bit more intensively and when we lighten that up? What is the difference? So those three questions: what is summer practice? What is integrated? What needs some help or some support? What do we notice that's different? So I'm going to give a talk, and then we'll have some time for discussion in some form or another. And so I'm going to offer you some answers. Some of my own responses to this question of what is integrated and what needs some support. So when I pose this question, what feels integrated and easy, one of the first things to do is perhaps notice your own response to even being asked the question. You can see a little bit about your own frame of mind in what kind of comes up in that moment of hearing that, because some of us who have a tendency towards self-criticism or judgment might say nothing feels easy and nothing feels integrated, and you can't see it. Sometimes it's harder to see how practice, for those of you who've been doing this for a bit, how it has really permeated I just think of it like fabric being dyed or being steeped in tea or something. What is really just in your bones? What is integrated? But it's easy to not really see it for ourselves. So it can be really important to reflect on, I do turn towards this element of practice more easily. I do take that breath before I answer the phone, or I do have a desire to go sit on the cushion. I do have this impulse to reflect. I do have this impulse towards compassion and awareness. So it can be helpful to just notice how you would even answer that, and what comes to mind when that question is put out to you. And next, now getting to more specifics, the next question you might ask yourself is, what are the formal elements of practice that are part of your day or that you miss when you don't do them? I was on a vacation recently, and so my whole routine was just kind of thrown out the window. And coming off of that, I really reflected, like, wow, I missed being on the cushion more, and it affected me. And it was, there's a way to approach it like, oh, that I should have built in time, or I should have done this. But to put that down and just go, oh, it's really nice to know that I really value sitting. I value how I feel and how I am able to meet the world when I sit. So I encourage you to reflect on, what are the parts of formal practice that you either kind of naturally pick up, or that you miss if you haven't been doing them, things like meditation practice or saying the middle verse or attending to a home altar or any sort of text or mantra or sutra that you recite regularly. Orienting ourselves to the precepts and spending time reading and reflecting and practicing with the precepts. All of those are elements of formal practice that we can turn towards and engage more intensively at times and then relax at others. So just notice. And one last suggestion along this lines of reflecting on what's integrated is noticing anything that has surprised you in summer practice, or any themes that have come up, any threads that you've noticed arising. And all of these are things that we do all the time, but sometimes when we really allow the form to relax, it can come up a little bit more sharply. So I'll give you some examples from my own summer practice of what's kind of come up for me, and what sort of inspired this is, so I went on a 3-week vacation where I really did travel the whole 3 weeks, which felt like quite luxurious. I've never actually done that before. And noticing what came up when my whole routine, I was out of the country, but everything just kind of was different. My day, the time zone, everything was different. So a few things that I noticed, and part of it's already kind of kept up in the talk, is just like, I noticed that reflecting back, I wish I would have sat more because I see more clearly, I appreciate more, I can take in all the beauty that I was able to see more completely, add some spaciousness to it. I also noticed I traveled with different people, and another theme of just to give you an example of things that you might notice is like, so when I was with the other people, I noticed that I didn't carve out as much time for myself as I might have, just to have that time to reflect. And that, so these little tendencies that we notice, like in a circumstance like vacation, are not typically isolated events. So we notice these threads that we carry. So it's like, oh, carving out time for myself to reflect and journal and do a little bit of zazen, no one would have cared had I said I need a half an hour. And I'll be with you in a moment. But taking that time, carving that out for myself. The other thing that I noticed that could be a whole Dharma talk in and of itself in the future was fear that came up while I was on vacation. fear large and small. And so interesting to notice what fear feels out of proportion to the circumstance and what is feels like more of a just taking care, but what's added in that. So things like what you might expect, fear of being lost. So a lot of fear of being lost that I had to talk myself through, which was like, so if I'm not going to die if I'm lost, I'm going to be okay. Worst case scenario, I retrace my steps and go back to the airport from whence I came and start over. But it was interesting to notice that habit of mind and that clenching and like, and then just kind of like, or I'm late, or I miss it, or and so that extra layer of insistence and clenching and oh my goodness, and then just relaxing into the circumstances that I found myself. And then sometimes it was, fear for physical safety. I went on this hike that was way too dangerous and for me to be on. And so I found myself on a hill where I had to just sit down and kind of slide down the hill in a quite undignified manner. But realizing that the fear, again, was a little bit out of proportion to what was actually happening. I was going to be okay. There was help. I didn't have to hurry. Part of it was a little pride because I was with people that seemed to be handling it a lot better than I was. So noticing a little self and ego arising, like, I should be able to handle this. And sometimes when I was in some kind of dicey neighborhoods, what I noticed is that it's smart to keep your wits about you and look around. But what I noticed is there can be a cutting off if I did too much of that. I had read all the theft alerts and how people, you know, in the subway are going to, you know, whatever. And so trying to be smart and not cut off. So keep my wits about me, but be open-hearted and really embrace the experience without being too afraid. And like if someone had taken my purse, again, it's going to be fine. I could recover from that. So just these disproportional things that came up. So all of that's to say, it's important to notice, and this is something that we're doing all the time, not just in summertime when we're allowing the forms to relax, but just an kind of an intensified time of that, if you will. And then reflecting that, so all my examples kind of segue into this question of, so what needs work? So what's integrated, what's easy, and then what do you notice that is helpful to have support with, or themes that are emerging that offer you some insight into your own karmic tendencies that you can work on. So reflecting on the practice of summer, again, we can reflect on what's different when we don't practice this intensely. How am I different? How are my responses different? How am I doing on my level of reactivity, on the reactivity meter? am I more defended, more protective, less patient, less open-hearted? Can we take an honest look at this and embrace what we notice without adding unnecessary judgment and self-criticism? So that's the other part of this. So whatever you notice is coming up when you allow forms to lighten, can we approach this with the spirit of curiosity and kindness, genuine kindness towards itself? Oh, this is happening. Oh, I'm like that. Huh. Perhaps I can shift that. We can reflect on all of these things and do this from a place of really deep knowing that allows us to say to ourselves, I can do better, I can do differently, and I'm still okay exactly as I am, and holding all of that. So all of this points to what we're doing much of the time of practice, but maybe not quite so explicitly and directly, which is we pick up the question of why do we practice? Why are we practicing at all? Why do we come to a Zen center on a sunny day in July. Why do we do it? So listening from, I listened to a bit of a talk from Kyogen about summer practice. I said it's kind of a Dharmaring classic. There was always a talk on summer practice. And one of the gems I took away from what Kyogen was saying about this practice of summertime is he was talking about what his teacher used to say about summer practice. So I love these. Great grandma in the Dharma used to say, so Roshi Kennett would say that if we don't periodically put down our practice, we become pot-bound in her very British way. So we become like we're in a planted pot that is root-bound and balled up. So it's constrained by this very container that is designed to support, and there's a way that growth is inhibited with that. So I imagine this all as these plants, and you're being scooped up and like shaken out a little bit and allowed to kind of loosen up and grow and see where we need to grow and see where we need to go. So not holding on with too much rigidity, being constrained by the very container that we value. It's okay to allow for this ebb and flow and practice. And as I said at the beginning, I think in the early years of my practice, there was a little bit of fear around summer and not having the support of the temple. And I had a few years of that. I mean, every Zazen Kai and every retreat kind of felt like the last one I'd ever be able to do. I might be able to do this one. I'm not sure going forward. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of like, oh, I don't know. And so summer practice triggered that for me, for sure. So it's nice to have this this deep knowing that the forms are there to support it, but it's not the thing itself. It's really not the thing itself. The challenge is to embrace and accept who we are and where we're at in practice completely, wholeheartedly. Sometimes it can be a time where we reflect and feel like we've fallen short, but it's really a time to say, there's the work for me to do. That's who I am. That's where I'm at in practice. And it's completely okay, and as it should be. And we continue to go forward. And also to keep in mind, no one else can do it but you. The talk that Domio gave when she was reading from Brad Warner, I think, that said something like, you know, you're the only one that can do the dishes on a Tuesday night on July 18th or something like that. You're the only one that can do that practice. And so here we are, each of us unique people that are on our own path, expressing it in our own ways, and there's only you can do that particular practice. And in fact, it's very important that you actually do it. It's very important. And it's challenging to believe that at times. Challenging to really value that at times. So I want to end with a poem from Mary Oliver. She's like, I was looking for either a Dogen assist or a Mary Oliver assist for the talk. So thank you, Mary Oliver, a very great bodhisattva for Dharma talks. And what I was looking for, that something to express this, this challenge that we can feel around practice, at least for me, at times of we don't always know what's happening. We don't always know below the level of consciousness, below the level of what we can see, what is actually transforming and growing and moving. And summertime is a time where if we're putting down the forms, it might feel like we're not really practicing, but there's a way that we can actually be practicing in a way that's very meaningful, very helpful for you uniquely in your life, how it's lived. So she has a poem called Little Summer Poem Touching the Subject of Faith. She says, every summer I listen and look under the sun's brass and even into the moonlight, but I can't hear anything. I can't see anything, not the pale roots digging down, nor the green stalks muscling up, nor the leaves deepening their damp pleats, nor the tassels making, nor the shucks, nor the cobs. And still, Every day, the leafy fields grow taller and thicker, green gowns lofting up in the night, showered with silk. And so, every summer, I fail as a witness, seeing nothing. I am deaf, too, to the tick of the leaves, the tapping of downwardness from the banya feet, all of it happening beyond any seeable proof or hearable hum. And therefore, let the immeasurable come. Let the unknowable touch the buckle of my spine. Let the wind turn in the trees and the mystery hidden in the dirt swing through the air. How could I look at anything in this world and tremble and grip my hands over my heart? What should I fear? One morning in the leafy green ocean, the honeycomb of the corn's beautiful body is sure to be there. So that is my talk for today. What I'd love to do is have you have a chance to reflect on the three questions with each other. The three questions I posed at the beginning: what is summer practice? What is integrated? What could use a little support? And what I'd like to do is, I'm going to do it kind of simply this time. So I've done this before, so some of you have been here for this, but I'm going to just have us group into twosies, groups of two, and do a deep listening exercise. So I'm going to give, I'll have you break out, but don't move yet. And I love doing this because it's an opportunity to really deeply listen and deeply be heard. So 3 minutes for each person in the pair, and the first person to go will respond to these questions in any way that they like, or you don't have to respond. You can sit in silence for that 3 minutes. You will have 3 minutes regardless, so sometimes you just have a little bit to say and then you can just sit quietly. That's kind of nice about Zen groups. We're good with that for the most part. What I find with that is that it gives the person who's talking a little more time than we are ordinarily given to formulate what you want to say. There's just some space there for you because you've got the 3 minutes. No one's going to interrupt with a question or a comment or anything like that. And the listener is able to engage in this practice of completely, wholeheartedly listening without feeling the pressure like we do in normal society to make a comment or respond in some way, but just wholeheartedly listen with your whole body, your whole affect. So there's no crosstalk in that. One person's talking, the other person is completely giving their attention, and then we'll switch, and then we'll have a little bit of report back out. So I'm going to just do a really simple twosie grouping off. Just find the person nearest you, and then I'll ring a bell. So just find your person, and I'll ring a bell for you to start your 3 minutes.
I'm good.
Okay.
If there's any of this number, I'll pull you out.
Is everybody finding some way? Yeah. All right.
So what is it? So we're gonna repeat the question.
So let me have everybody's attention again, just for 1 second. So the questions are, you can answer any of these or none of them. What is summer practice to you? What is integrated in your practice that you've noticed? What could use some work? And so does everybody know who's going to talk first? Okay. Is everybody good with who's talking? Okay. All right. So I'm going to start for 3 minutes.
Because the stimulus is a lot of people.
So thank your EGO partners for listening and talking, and then we will switch positions and you can start right now. So we'll come back together as a group. Thank you for participating in that. So if anybody's, I would love to hear responses to either the talk or the exercise that you just did. I ask that you not share what your partner shared. so share from your own experience. But if anybody has any responses to the topic or doing the listening practice or anything at all, I'd love to hear it. I think the group would like to hear it too.
I enjoyed being given permission to listen and not have to give feedback, so I could just enjoy the listening and taking in without worrying about me. I could just focus on the topic.
Isn't it awesome? I realize when I do this kind of thing how much I'm kind of preparing some kind of response. I think it's natural, but it is really nice to be able to just really restfully just listen. Yeah.
So, like, for me, in one way, summer practice is just the same as other times of the year, because for me, practice is sitting, zazen. That's my formal practice. However, although I like to think of myself as being receptive to the natural world in all seasons, if I do believe that in the summer it is simply easier to make the summer and the natural world and what is happening a part of my practice, because it's such a spectacular time of the year and there are so many things to notice and to see and feel and touch and experience. So I guess that in that sense, my practice perhaps expands a little bit in the summer because of those sorts of things.
Absolutely. And so it's a reminder that I can be a little bit cut off from my natural environment. I work inside, I don't work out, and the summertime is this nice expansive time of connecting with this world that we live in and how fantastic it is. So thank you for that. Anybody else have any responses about what feels integrated, what's carried, what's not? What they notice about practice?
I had heard a teaching this week. A woman who said her Dharma teacher had said, "Life is our practice is our life. Our life is our practice. That's really what it is." Mm-hmm. And I found that so interesting. That, it's not just the sitting or just the, chanting or reading or whatever, but it's our life. And I found that very liberating in a lot of ways and also sort of just intriguing. And I'm still sort of sorting out what that might mean. But it's very clear to me what the support part of the support question is about, and for me, it's the discipline. It is the discipline of sitting, in particular, because as much as I've always wanted to have a meditation practice, desired it, it's wonderful when I do it. I'm so resistant to it. I'm just so resistant. And I think it's because it has to do with discipline. And
I hear the chuckle of recognition.
Yeah. I'm not. And it's I have found that group sitting is something that is so helpful to me, and being, you know, coming to a sangha, but you know, just doing the online sittings, I'm still learning about that. I, you know, punching the wrong button and suddenly it's me in my bathroom.
Well, that was you.
What the hell? Anyway, yeah, I need that discipline. Whether it's the online sitting, which is really helpful, but I can do it right, coming to the group, in whatever way I can get that outside support, because it's just that part is not internalized or integrated at all. And I'm just so thankful there is, that you guys are here. So thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to have Sangha. I mean, yeah.
It just occurred to me, I apologize to Janet because I didn't think about when we were talking. Kind of 3 minutes was more than enough time for me. So, but as far as integrating my practice, it's not so, and we kind of both came up with the same thing. Not a lot changes between summer and the rest of the year for me. But as far as integrating, it just occurred to me that I'm integrating a lot of other people and activities into my day that I would normally do during the rest of the year, because there's more going on. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, as far as integrating, it's not my practice, it's other things coming, accommodating those other things within what I do. But as far as, I didn't really see a difference between summer and rest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't see much of a difference either, because I just keep on coming here. You know? I mean, actually, and when Shintai and I first started practicing at Dharma, you might have mentioned at the beginning, you know, there was this late schedule, like not as much happened. Did they even meet every Sunday?
It closed down when I first started practicing. It closed down entirely.
So that was a big difference. But for me, when I was thinking about it now, again, it's not necessarily so much summer as almost I'd call it vacation practice. So it might not be necessarily in the summer, but when you go on vacation, you know, and like all bets are off. And to me, that I associate that with exactly what you were saying. Like, I have to let go of the routine, the schedule, the discipline, the support, the, you know, and just kind of wing it and go with it and whatever. And so that's how I framed the question for myself in terms of what is practice when, for one reason or another, that routine and that structure is thrown up. And it's hard. I mean, it's delightful, but it's also, I think one thing that helped was just giving up the attachment to the structure for the time being, and feeling confident that it'll come back. We can get it back together again after the vacation. So it's like, I give myself more permission to just kind of lose it for a while, rather than that kind of sense of kind of guilt or panic all the way through, like, I don't really like this. And I noticed after a period of vacation, I end up kind of numb, that kind of dead and tired and exhausted and numb.
It's amazing.
Like, I'm really glad I'm with you, family. you know, just, I don't know, I just, so that's where I could see taking that, like you were exactly like you're saying, like taking that, inserting a little bit more of that discipline that I feel like is kind of selfish to take that time away from, you know, spending time with family, but in a way I'd be doing them a favor.
If I did. Like, trust me, this will be better for everybody. Well, any final thoughts?
I was thinking when you were talking about the root-bound pod, that and after having an opportunity to reflect and share with Shoketsu, that I was the what needs work kind of piece. I think I need to get to the root-bound piece. During the break, Jan and I were talking about pruning, and I was reflecting on that I didn't get a good blueberry crop because I hadn't done proper pruning. And then when you said the root-bound part, I was thinking, those are kind of the extremes, and I need to get my practice somewhere flexible that's not root-bound, but I need more of that right now.
Just kidding. Well, I think that's everything for today. So I encourage you to just go forth, embrace summer and all that it has to offer, and then come back.
Thank you.
And I think